Here we go. We are going to stay with Corinthians today, except it kind of gets us off on some bunny trails, but that's fine. Here, can you hear me fine? All right. I got this thing from a pastor that sent it to me here. Church doctrines preached by Christ. His concern is that there are those that look at the Gospels only and skip all of Paul. And then he said there are those that look at Paul only and skip all of the Gospels. And I thought, well, okay. Because this guy says he's a Paul guy. Or he's in, probably mid-Acts, if he's even that. And nice guy, not a problem there. But as he writes this thing, he makes a lot of good comments. You know, the things are in the Gospels are in the Gospels. And the things in Paul's books are in Paul's books. And his point is, we people out there that follow Paul say that we just ignore the Gospels. Well, see, that's one of the problems that these mid-Acts guys and these Paul hyper guys are doing, is they're just going to Paul's books only, and they leave out Corinthians because they say when it was written, so we just ignore Corinthians. Well, you can't ignore Corinthians. First of all, if you ignore Corinthians, you don't get to you ignore the verses that tell us to follow Paul. So how can you do that? See what I mean? If they get rid of Corinthians, there goes the reasons for following Paul, because he says so. And I just read through this thing, and he makes this comment here. He says many extreme dispensationalists skip all of what the Gospels are in there. Then he says here later on, is a long little thing here where he says, Jesus says things in the Gospel that Paul also says in Paul's books. Okay, that's fine. Why do we think that we have to go back to the Gospels then for all of our doctrine? And I just, so of course we know that Paul, Jesus tells Paul some things, and Paul reiterates what he told to the Jews. Well, of course he would. But that doesn't give us a ticket to go back to the Gospels for our doctrine. Now, he keeps leaving out one word here, and this is amazing. People still don't understand the difference between 2 and 4. And he keeps saying here, people say that there's nothing in the Gospels for us. Yes, there is. All of the Gospels, all of the Old Testament, all of Acts, all of Revelation, all of Titus, all of Timothy, all of James and Peter, all there for us. That's not the point. What of that stuff is to us? Well, it's the stuff that Paul wrote. And even though Paul wrote Hebrews, supposedly, and I tend to think he did, because whatever, I don't really care who wrote it. It doesn't match Paul's teaching doctrine to the Gentiles. And Hebrews is written to the Jews. Hebrews is like a book of Acts is from the Gospels to Paul's books. Hebrews is like the same thing from Paul's books to the Tribulation. I guess you would say there's transition, I suppose, but not really transition, because nothing is in Hebrews to us. And Acts does have some things that kind of reiterates the history of writing Paul's books. So they leave out this 2-4 thing. You know, we don't go back to the Gospels for doctrine to us. We go back to the Gospels to learn what it was that Jesus said to the Jews. Well, of course he's going to tell us some of the same things. So, anyway, it's just a frustrating thing to see how people just somehow can't get the simplicity of this whole thing. Paul is where we get all of our doctrine, only from Paul. And if some of that stuff is coming from the Gospels, fine. We're getting it from Paul. If Jesus told Paul that stuff that he told the Jews, then Paul will tell us that. So we still get it from Paul. We don't have to go back to the Gospels and try to figure it out. Now, did Jesus tell this to Paul? Okay, now did Jesus tell this to Paul? Well, if you want to do that, you've got to know Paul's books, and you've got to know the Gospels. You've got to put them together, come up with your own doctrine from both. Well, that's not simplicity. That's confusing. The simplest thing is to just go with what Paul wrote, and if he reiterated something from the Gospels, fine. We're getting it from Paul. And the stuff that's to us is the stuff from Paul. I don't know. It's mind-boggling when I read some of this. It's a 6-page, 2-column thing, and it's you know, he's got some good points. Of course he does. But he doesn't see the 2-4 thing. It's just, okay, so he taught that stuff to the Jews, okay? And then he told Paul to teach us what he told Paul to teach us through Paul's books. Case closed. It's just that amazing. Now, I think some of the stuff that still confuses people is, for example, we get into these Corinthians things. Yeah, you can't put 2 and 2 together, right? And we look in the Corinthians thing, and yes, there's some things in there that Paul doesn't teach in the rest of his books. Speaking in tongues is a big one. He's got a chapter on how to do it. And we're looking at some gifts here today. And some other things we see. How do we differentiate between the Pentecostal crowd who says this is where they get their stuff, or from Paul in these other books? So I can see where people are confused, but I think what the problem is people don't just sit down and study this thing. I'm not saying it has to be studied deeply. It just makes total sense. And we'll see it here today. I think we'll see another thing that will help us see how simple it is. I just don't think people in their Bibles enough. We're too busy studying, going to school. I got to go to school. We're working. I think the biggest thing we have is we just play too much. We just get too much play time, leisure time, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And that's just a huge thing. You get on that farce book, and everybody's talking about what they have to do to have fun. And they bring God into the thing. Oh, God bless me so I can have fun today down at the beach. That's just irritating. So let's not waste any more time with chit-chat here. Let's go into 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And again, my notes for those people that are looking for some deep notes are not there. I put little outlines of the verses we're looking at, and this is stuff that you need to hear. It's easier to talk than it is to type it. So here we go, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And this one is dealing with gifts, spiritual gifts. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. And that even brings us back to said in the chapter before that, or two chapters before that, what the Gentile sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils. So, you know, the lost world isn't where we need to go to for any of this kind of stuff. But you know that ye were Gentiles, carried away into these dumb idols, even as ye were led. And we were. And remember, it isn't just Catholics marrying the bathtub in the backyard and stuff like that. No, these idols of even play. We read I think it's 10, where play is part of idolatry. If it means that much to you, that you've got to play instead of what's right. So, wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. I mean, you can't do that in those days. I could say that today, but it wouldn't be from God. It'd be from my flesh, okay? And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. I mean, you can say it, but that doesn't mean he is the Lord, because you got to get it from the Holy Ghost. Now, this just reminds us again that this is the time of Paul's on earth. This is his time here. And God did give these things to these people as gifts, spiritual gifts. Now, the conflict here is go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 11. Paul says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established." Well, see, Paul talks about spiritual gifts right there. But if we go to Romans chapter 12, which we will a little later on right now, but for now, we see in Romans chapter 12, look at verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us. So, we got a conflict here. We got two sets of gifts. We've got the gifts of 1 Corinthians 12, these spiritual, as we see it in the Pentecostal crowd, and we see the reality gifts, as I call them for now, in Romans chapter 12, and Paul says in Romans chapter 1 that he wants to impart some gifts to us. We look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8, and we see where it says, when he ascended up high, on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. So yes, Christ is giving up gifts. Sure. And we know, we won't take the time to study this tonight, in Ephesians 3:7, 4:7, Ephesians 2:8, and Romans 5:15, 16, 17, Romans 6:23, Romans 5:18, the free gift of grace, the free gift of eternal life, and the free gift of his righteousness. And they all tie together. That's the free gift that we want to have. It all ties with God's grace. He gives us that eternal life and imputes unto us his righteousness as a gift. And people only do Romans 6:23. But we need to talk about the fact that he gives us grace. We haven't earned that. And his righteousness is imputed, is given to us as a gift. All that equals together, we can have that salvation as a free gift. But we won't get into that tonight. That's just that one. If we go to... Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. While you're in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 30, because part of this comes about by the fact that he talks about us being members of his body. Ephesians 5:30 says, "For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones." Okay, so now we go back. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12, And let's read the Corinthians account of this body. And he talks about it also in Romans 12. Now, what's going to make us pick one or the other? We see in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. Here we go. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. You know, the Spirit's going to give out these gifts. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. Administrate. Different people are going to be doing different things here in this body. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. So there's differences in all these things that he's given out here. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Okay, so there's that first verse. Now, let's look at Acts chapter 2. So there's a promise, manifestation of the Spirit. And the Pentecostals to this day will ask you, well, I know you're saved, but have you received the Spirit of God? Has he manifested his Spirit in you? Well, how do you know that you've received it? Well, you speak in tongues. That way you know you've got the Spirit of God in you. Where does it come up with that stuff? Well, look at Acts chapter 2, verse 38. This is a classic verse that all the Pentecostals and lately all the Baptists, everybody's been using again. Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Have you received that gift? And if you have, you go down, here's your doctrine that you pull all this out of. Which is why I get so frustrated, or whatever, I get so irritated, whatever, I get so stymied, or whatever. Everybody's heading for this verse 47, trying to have favor with all the people, trying to get the lost people to want to come to your church. Why would they ever want to come to your church if it preaches the truth? Oh, anyway. So, look at Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, verse 20. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. So he's got that little story in there about trying to buy it. Look at Acts chapter 10, verse 45. Acts chapter 10, verse 45. And they were of the circumcision, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues. This all pops in together here. So we go back to 1 Corinthians 12. We know that in 1 Corinthians 14, we get the whole chapter on how to speak the speaking in tongues. And this is Paul. So what's the change here? Where do we get this thing out of Romans instead of Corinthians? Well, we'll get to that in a minute here. Back to verse 7 again of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Okay? For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. In other words, there's some people out there that have this wisdom about them, that they know these things. To another, the word of knowledge. Here's the knowledge. So you got one guy that can put it all together with wisdom, one guy that's got all the smarts of knowledge. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing. So some folks got more faith than others. Some folks are healers. Not dogs, but not blue healers, but they're just healers. To another, the working of miracles. You got the miracle working crowd out there. To another, prophesy. They can just preach and teach as that kind of stuff. They're good at it. To another, discernment of spirits. They just know these things. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. You can speak in different languages and different tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. Got to have those interpreters, Paul says. But all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So he chooses who gets what. Then he goes in and he talks about the body. Well, makes sense here. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Keep going here. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. There's our spiritual baptism. That's not hard to decipher and to figure that out. We know that. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit, that's fine. No water makes this happen. It's a spiritual thing. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And now we compare this. We've got our physical bodies. We've got the body of Christ, which you read in Ephesians chapter 5. And then we've got the church body, which is patterned after that. It's just that people nowadays think that the church body, the physical church organization, has become the body of Christ. Are we all mixed up or what in this day? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? The whole were the hearing, where were the smelling? But now God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. And if they all were, if they were all one member, where were the body? I like that. Where were the body? Not singular, it's plural. But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head of the head to the feet, I have no need of you. And yeah, we ought to be able to get that together in a local church. We all belong there. We all have different roles within the church. But we're not talking about the here. He's talking about these, the spirit of wisdom, the word of knowledge, of faith, healing, miracles, discerning of spirits. You know, the ladies just, oh, we just know that this is from God. That kind of thing. Interpretation of tongues and diverse kinds of tongues. That's what we're talking about here. And this was done during these days. Now, the first part we read with Peter, that was Peter talking. But you see how a devil can take Peter's early stuff there in Romans or Acts and tie it in with all this stuff and get people to think the Pentecostal church is where it's at. Well, the Antichrist is going to do a good job of that. Anyway, let's keep going. You'll see here. He says in verse 22 probably, no, 21, have no need of you. Verse 22, nay, much more of those members of the body which seem more feeble are necessary. So we all have a place in the church. You might be the armpit, you know, and you might be the fingernail, you might be the nose. I mean, everybody's got their parts. And it says here, they're necessary. So it seems to be more feeble, are necessary. We've got some things in our body that are necessary that just aren't the pleasantest places in the world. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our comely, uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. So we need every part that we've got. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Okay, so we don't, when we, you know, we take showers, we don't just wash our arms and our hair. We do the whole thing. Da-da-da-da. We're all one part of it. Something's hurting, I got problems in my arm, the whole body is affected by that sort of a thing. So we understand all that kind of stuff. That's not what we're talking about here tonight. Verse 26, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored and all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Okay? Now, before we go on to this little spot, let's go to Romans. Go to Romans 12. And let's read, where's the body stuff here? Romans 12, verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Okay, look at verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So, now we talk about gifts that God has given to different people within the church. Verse 6, within the body. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us, whether prophesy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Where do we get our faith from? The book. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth, on teaching. So we've got people in the church that are better teachers than others. We have people in the church that are better in the ministry as such, to minister to somebody else. We have those that are better preachers than somebody else. There are those that have more faith, it seems, than everybody else. We see in verse 8, or he that exhorteth, there's your preaching again, and exhortation. He that giveth, let him do with simplicity. There are some people that are good givers, and it doesn't bother them. And there are some people still, to this day, to spend $5 on something for the church, or again, the website, or the preacher, and see him get something, whatever. It just kills you. But there are some people that are good at that. And some people are good at it that don't have a whole lot of money, but they can still give, and they don't care. They'll sacrifice. They'll do without something. Different people are better at that. He that ruleth, he ruleth diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. you know, some of us are not good with showing mercy to people. Some people seem to just have, they have more mercy than, that's where some of my merciness went, was in that other person's bucket. And then he says here, let love be without dissimulation, meaning fake and false, abhor that which is evil. And he goes on with a list of things to do. So, we got a problem here. We got two sets of gifts. One is through the grace given unto us, and one is given through the Holy Spirit. Now, we know that the gift that God has given us is grace. His righteousness makes it so we can have this grace, and all His grace and His righteousness make it so we can have eternal life. There's the gift we're talking about here. That's a big one. But what about these two little things here? Let's go back to, let's go up to 1 Corinthians 12 again. Read that. We'll finish that out. We'll finish that out. 1 Corinthians 12, we will repeat verse 27. Now we are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God has set some in the church. Now we're going back to these spiritual ones in the healings and the miracles and stuff. And God has set some in the church. First, apostles. Secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. But they're still part of the body of Christ. And then they put these in the local church. Okay, now here's the verse that tells us which set of gifts to go to. But covet earnestly the best gifts. You know, that's what you want. And he says, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. He says in verse 13, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I become a sounding brass. Now he talks about charity. We get into time. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can move mountains, and I'm not charity, I'm nothing. So we're seeing something here, that in Paul's day, Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost gave these people these gifts, and it was all part of this healing because God would give it to them. Now, if I remember correctly, 1 Corinthians 13:8 says, whether there be prophecies, whether there be tongues, whether there be knowledge, all this stuff is given to these people in part in Paul's day. And Paul says, we can do these things. We know these things in part. He says, but when that which is perfect is come, when that which is in part, what's that? That's the knowledge, that's the prophecy, that's the tongue, that's all the stuff that God was giving, then we see this whole list of gifts here go by the wayside. It's done away. This thing is, this shows importance of a King James Bible, rightly divided, as the Word of God, as the final authority. If you wanted to try to say that all those things in the King James Bible, you kind of could. The wisdom of the King James Bible, the knowledge of the King James Bible, faith cometh by hearing, hearing what the Word of God, healing, you can get spiritually healed, physically healed, is we're in a fleshy body still. We've had miracles in our life, but the Bible is miraculous, that kind of thing. You want to go that way, you can. Prophecy, get your preachings from the Bible, discerning of spirits. This Bible helps us discern everything. Diverse kinds of tongues. Yeah, one language knocks everybody else's language out of the water. And interpretation of tongues, you read your King James Bible. If you wanted to go that way, have at it, because I kind of look at it that way. That whole thing was transferred into this book. But it doesn't help the physical body, because our physical body is separated from the flesh and the soul, and it's just dirty flesh. That's what the judgment seat of Christ is for. But anyway, so now let's go to Romans 12. So, again, we see in Corinthians that you can't just pull Corinthians out and do all that stuff. But you also can't just throw out Corinthians. You have to rightly divide the book of Corinthians, the two books of Corinthians. There's things that were done in Paul's day that went away, healing. Paul could heal, but he couldn't by the time he was done. Miracles. Paul did miracles, but by the time he was done, he wasn't. He heard stuff, but Christ went to Paul. Paul was given the gifts by God. Paul even laid his hands on Timothy. In 1 Timothy 4:14 and 2 Timothy 1:6, he talks about the gift of God that Paul laid on him when he laid his hands on him. So what do we have today? We've got guys in the church thinking they're so holy that they can lay hands on another guy and make him successful in the ministry. How many people have you known that they went through the ordination And the pastor, some famous couple of pastors come in there and they ask this guy questions to make sure that they are of the same denominational mentality. And then they put their hands on their greasy little hair and their shoulders and the men touching men and all this kind of stuff. You probably get a few women out there that they bless when they go out there. And they put their hands on them and they bless them, pray over them and all this kind of stuff. And it was 3 weeks later, their ministry fails. Well, they move someplace else. God changed his mind to a different island. Oh, I got more stories that was some of my first doubts. Why are we doing this? It's up right through the Lord's Supper. Here's this wild, radical Baptist crowd, and all of a sudden we go really soft, and we look like Catholics, walking around and marching around, doing the little left turn stuff, and nobody talk or God will kill you during the Lord's Supper. If you take it improperly, you're gonna get killed and get sick. I mean, that's a life that existed during Paul's day, but not today. Why? Because of the King James Bible. Everything that have just popped into that King James Bible. And there you have it in your hand to have everything that you need. Now, Romans chapter 12, before I just ramble with this opinion here. Romans chapter 12, some of the hanky blessed by the janitor. Yeah. Oh, what have we received in the mail from these people? We've received handkerchiefs, we've received placemats, we've received crosses, pieces of the cross. You know, it was touched by Veronica or something, and I can't imagine anybody would call their idol Fatima, you know, Fat Ma. Why would they call anybody their little virgin thing, you know, Fatima? And they got statues all over the world of her. I used to get this thing from the Blessed of Roses or something. It's about Veronica and all the miracles she would do. So they would go to the someplace in New York, I think it is. But one of the big ceremonies they were going to have, they were going to do some road construction, so nobody could go to this particular place. So they said they prayed and asked Veronica to come and show herself somewhere else instead of at this one place because of road construction. Road construction? Come on, that just amazes me. Okay, Romans chapter 12. What we got here? Romans chapter 12, verse 6. Now we got the gifts that make sense. Yeah, Arch and Veronica. Why did I know that you would be the one that would know about Veronica and Archie? And Sam, do a judge at, yeah. Supposed to be Christian comics now, those guys, you know. Veronica, I imagine Veronica's dressed like she always was and all that kind of junk. And Blondie is the girl, both Blondie and her daughter. What's her name, Daisy? No, that's Little Abner. Well, they all look like whores and sluts today in the comics, so whatever. Romans chapter 12, verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us, not just the Holy Spirit picking and choosing, according to grace that Jesus gives out here. Whether prophesy. Now, prophesy, yeah, prophesy. S-Y, C-Y makes prophesy. S-Y is C, prophecy. Let us prophesy. I might have them backwards. Prophecy, let us prophesy. I don't know. According to the proportion of faith. The more faith you get from your Bible, the more you can preach and teach them. Or ministry. So let us wait on our ministering. So we got people that are good ministering to people here. Or he that teacheth. We got good teachers. He that exhorteth, exhortation. He that giveth. He that ruleth. He that showeth mercy. The cheerfulness. There's what we got working on us today. Prophecy, prophesy. There we go. I'll never get them right anyway, in my memory. You know. We have here, look at Romans 12. Let's see here. Nope, not there. 5. I think I already got it. Romans 5. I think we did that verse already, didn't we? Yeah, I did. 5:17. But I think we already talked about that verse. 5:17 says here. Yeah, gift of righteousness. Okay. Now, let's go back to 1 Corinthians again. So there's the stuff that meets, there's our meat right there for us today. That's the stuff that we're looking at here. Prophecy, and whatever, ministering to people, teaching, exhorting, preaching, giveth, giving to people, ruleth, mercy. Better people are gifted of mercy. It's just an amazing thing to think that. And here we got people, like, for example, we have this, I've never wanted to do this in a church. We have this, what they call preach, pray, or die, where all the men in the church are supposed to get up and preach as God has led them to preach. See, I told them back in Sushi, that's baloney. Because God hasn't called you to preach as such. Nobody's called like that. But he's given us gifts. Some people are better at it than others. So these guys that go up there and they feel like a total fool, and they're not good at it. Some of these guys can't read. I understand that. Why would you put them up there? It's a guilt trip. It's a power play. I think they do it for a couple of reasons. One is to make them feel crummy that they need to trust their pastor. and two is to try to spark them into studying their Bible, but they still can't preach and teach. I know a guy that went up there, and he wasn't going to do it ever again because the pastor before me laughed at him when he was done. So that was dumb. And then I heard a guy one time that preached up there, and I heard a tape of this guy preaching, and not one, when the pastor was gone, not one time did that guy use a scripture verse. Not one time. So he didn't know what he was doing up there. He didn't learn anything. And then this other guy that was laughed at, he wasn't going to do it again. I got him to do it because I was going to be gone. And I guess his wife sat in the front row and just kind of took notes. And who's going to stand there and do a good job of trying to teach something if you got your wife picking at you, trying to make sure you did it right, you know? And he was sweating, not because he was preaching to the congregation, because his wife was going to pick at him later, because that's how their marriage is established. And it's a mess, this whole thing. Different people can do different things within their body. Everybody's not supposed to be preaching. Everybody's not good at ministering. Everybody's not good at giving. They should, but they're not good at it. Some are give out with cheerfulness, it says there. Sacrifice and cheerfulness and stuff. Ruleth with diligence. Be consistent with your ruling. These are the guys that should be the deacons, all that kind of stuff, if you wanted to say that. Whatever. Some people have better mercy than others. So let's go back to 1 Corinthians 12. That's just kind of a ramble, I guess, here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, long section here. And we'll just kind of finish this up with where Paul says some interesting things here. I like that back at 12:31 again. Well, I just noticed that it's 1 Corinthians 12 and it's Romans 12, by the way, so that's just one of those numbered things, I suppose. Coincidence, you know. I've shown to you a more excellent way. Now we go to 14. Let's go to chapter 14. And this is where we'll pick it up again next on Sunday or Sunday night or somewhere in there. He gets done talking about charity. Well, I guess we might as well pop in 13 here. We read already half of it already. Go to the charity part, never faileth. This whole chapter is about charity. Fine. And that's why I have no problem with charity as such. And it's not love. It's a lot more than just love. He says in verse 11, when I was a child, I spake as a child, understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now, we see through a glass darkly. They didn't see everything. It was all given to them in part in Paul's day. But then, when is then? When that which has come is perfect. When that which is perfect has come. And the things done in part will be, which is in part, will be done away. That's then, face to face. It can't be Jesus. And we talked about this before. I'm rambling. It can't be Jesus Christ face to face, because if it is, all this Pentecostal stuff is right, and we're crazy with this book. And we know that a Bible study, if you do a Bible study of face to face, when God spoke to the people, it's always still words. Never saw his face. Face to face in the Bible is when you read your Bible. Words. You hear God's words, he hears you pray. That's face to face. So I don't have a problem with that. Now, I know in part. Paul still didn't have everything down. I know in part. But then shall I know, even as also I am known. People really struggle with this, but look at that. But then he will know as he is known. People know Paul. Well, he will know what he needs to know in those days as much as they know him. They know he's Paul. So he finishes up with 13. And now, meaning during Paul's time, abideth faith, hope, and charity. These three. That's during Paul's time. And during Paul's time, the greatest of those things was charity. What things? Was the greatest thing in Paul's time charity? No, the greatest of those three things was faith, hope, and charity. Of those three things, charity was the most important, was the greatest of these things. Then he says in 14:1, follow after charity. Well, of course, follow after charity. And desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. And here we go into this whole spiel about speaking in tongues. And we recognize here again, this is Paul talking to his people during his day. Remember, the Corinthian church has Jews in it. We get on to verse 22, wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. So why would we want to be speaking in tongues among the believers when it's supposed to be for the lost? Why would we want to be preaching among the lost when it's supposed to be in those that believe? Prophesying. So 23 and 24, if somebody comes into your church, for example, and everybody's acting a little, speaking in tongues, the guy's not going to know what's going on. What edification is there, he says. But if the preaching's going on, and he comes in and believe it's not, he'll get convinced instead of convicted. He's convinced, which I like that. Again, we see how we change the word and run on that thing. He's not convicted at all. We're convinced. The secrets of his hearts are made manifest, falling down his face, he will worship God. And so we can get into that later if we get into that. But we've got to just look back at this Corinthians thing. Corinthians is there for the time that he was there. And when this book came along, that stuff that had to do with gifts from God, those were shut off to the disciples. What he's done to the Jews by the time he's done with all this stuff, and the Jews are set aside. You can go to the verse where for tongues are for sign and use that to knock out tongues all the time. But you got to remember, in the early part of Acts, and even in Corinthians, the Gentiles are getting saved because they saw the tongue-speaking thing. And baptisms are in here, no longer baptisms. Laying out of hands is in here, but no longer laying out of hands. Or, we throw out Paul's book and stick with Corinthians and Gospels and Acts and get rid of everything else Paul says and go right to Hebrews and 1st, 2nd Peter and James and 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. Which, what's the point of, if this is the Word of God, the Bible, which I believe it is, and rightly divide this thing, you take that stuff that was before the book and you put it back in that time, and the stuff that's after the book, and there's that transition in there, of course, and we get the gifts in Romans chapter 12, not Corinthians chapter 12. And this whole thing about speaking in tongues, if we want to take what Paul says about speaking in tongues, and let's apply this chapter to those that are speaking in tongues, supposedly in churches today, they break every rule in here anyway. So they don't dare go to 1 Corinthians 14, these tongue-speaking Pentecostal churches, because they break all these rules. My favorite one is verse 34. Let your women keep silence in the churches. They tell them to be quiet. It'd take a miracle for that to happen. But they're talking about here speaking in tongues. This whole chapter is speaking in tongues, speaking. And the women aren't supposed to do it. Bottom line, simple. What have we got going on in Pentecostal churches? The early part of all this stuff was started by women. It grew by women, and now the men are involved because men are like women today. And the wives run the ship, and they're going to these Pentecostal churches. They want to keep their marriage together. I don't know why, but they just want to keep everything going. So right there kills the whole speaking in tongues deal. But anyway, we can pick up on some of that later on, because there's some things I read and they're kind of interesting. But do we see how this thing works out? I'll tell people to read, why don't we speak in tongues? Yeah, Paul doesn't go to the Jews anymore. That was a sign for the Jews. That's fine. But you know, in Mark, the last chapter of Mark and the last couple of verses, it wasn't just to the Jews. It was to the world. And they were going to speak in tongues if they got saved. That was a sign. It wasn't just a sign for Jews. It was a sign for Christians, period. So, that's how important 1 Corinthians 13:10 is. So let's see. We finish this up here. We can. Oh, then he says here, he that speaketh an unknown tongue, tongue speaketh not unto men but unto God. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification. So even Paul is saying, the tongue thing. It's not even when it was time to do the tongue thing. Don't do it. You're better off that you do this the preaching thing, prophesying and all that stuff. Edify. Let's get some edification, not some show. We went to a church in Texas that had, I'll finish off with a pastoral story here. Went to visit a church in Texas when we first got saved. I didn't even know what speaking in tongues was. It's just, you all speak with tongues. How else can you talk without your tongue? So what did I know, you know? And we're in the church service, and right next to us, a lady started speaking in tongues. The pastor just started it up, and everybody started speaking in tongues. I should save this story for chapter 14, because I'm not supposed to do that at all. Anyway, everybody started yakking in tongues. And this lady next to us fell over. She, like, died, I thought. Said, I went and rushed and got an usher. And he said, oh, that's okay. She's just, what do you say, slain in the spirit. And they hauled her off. Very immodestly hauled her off, by the way. And I was just like, this is weird stuff. When the pastor was done, everybody had to stop. It's just, to me, it's just like when you're having the Lord's Supper, and the pastor says, okay, examine yourself. He gives you about a minute, maybe. He says, okay, we're done. Let's go on with the party here. And I was never done. I had so many things to examine myself over, examine my music, examine my dress, examine my mouth, examine my, you know, all that kind of junk. And we're done already. It's a farce. It's a folly. The whole thing is a folly today. But the truth is in there. And it's Romans chapter 12 for the gifts, not 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So I just rattle. And it is a more exceeding, how does he say that in 1 Corinthians 12:31 there? A more, how does he say that? And we'll finish with that. He says, go ahead and do this kind of stuff, but I'm going to show you a more excellent way. And then he goes off and he tells us, by the way, you're going to get a book someday, and it's going to have everything in there, and God's going to just, with all this grace, it's just marvelous stuff. I really think that God, Jesus, the Christ, the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, told Paul, Paul, one of these days, all this stuff's going to be written into a book, and they're going to have this book down there. People are going to die for this book. I bet you Paul says, boy, that's great. Then they don't have to have me walking around or people walking around. They have to trust man. They got this book. And then Jesus says, Paul, with heart, the problem here is the devil's going to make about 500 different books, get the people all confused. And Paul just would have to say, boy, what a mess that devil is, He said, you're going to have people reading stuff. They're going to even misinterpret what you're saying, Paul, because you're talking to people during your time right now. It'll get all mixed up. But he says, but tell those people it's a more excellent way. It's the way of God more perfectly, more complete. There's more coming, people. And we have it in this book. So there's how we get through Corinthians. So we'll kind of pick on 14 a little bit and still have charity, but the book is more important than charity because they're supposed to have reproof and rebuke and avoid. So all that happens too. Everybody's so full of charity that they're letting garbage go on in their church. They're letting ladies that just get out of hand and get demonically, just let it continue. They let dress falling apart in churches. They let that continue. Their music is terrible. They let that continue. The preaching is like, what are you teaching us? It's like we just had Jell-O without sugar in it or something. Diet Jell-O or something. What a horrible dud sermon there. It's just a bunch of baloney. Because nobody wants to stand up and say something anymore. And take the pastor aside and talk to him a little bit. You're lying to us here. Anyway, now I'm just rambling out of my grave. So there you are.